Welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1, the one you trust. A lot going on. Everybody's getting ready for back to school in a variety of different forms. We have Superintendent of Schools Chuck McCauley and also with the Bartlesville Public Schools Foundation, Blair Ellis. Good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
Oh, what do we have first? We got a lot to go.
Yeah, I think we'll let maybe Blair talk first about some foundation business.
Yeah, sure. Blair, what you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to update the community, first of all, on our PPE efforts. I am tired of saying that word, to be honest.
I think we all are.
But I really do appreciate, you know, our district has been ahead of the game since the beginning, been planning for what we need to get back to school safely. And one of those things they prioritized was facial coverings for our student and staff. And so we reached out to the community kind of right from the beginning and started asking for support for that. And as I'm sure you're not surprised, our community responded. Wow, and we have raised almost $60,000 in just a little over a month for a PPE and related supplies for a safe reopening of schools. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to take 1 minute to kind of thank some of our donors that have been significant contributors. So I've got the Bartlesville Rotary Club, the Lion Foundation, the Bartlesville Regional United Way, our best foundation, the Trudy Education Foundation, Phillips 66, and then we're working on some additional contributions from Chevron Phillips and the Lowe Family for Education Foundation.
My goodness, that is great. Everyone's stepping up. I like that.
Everyone is stepping up because they recognize, I think, and they're confident in our leadership in our schools and recognize that this is what we need to do to get our kids back in front of our teachers and into the classrooms. And then we've also received a lot of in-kind contributions. We were estimating almost $12,000 in in-kind contributions, which include a lot of handmade masks from our local mask-making community. We've received about 500 face shields from local dentist offices, and then we received a lot of disposal masks, 10,000 disposal masks, actually, from ConocoPhillips just earlier this week, as well as some washable masks.
You know, this community has gone at it in a manner of like the stories I've heard during World War II, maybe not to that degree, but with that kind of spirit and that kind of intent.
It's been really amazing to watch everybody come out. And again, I really believe that they trust in our leadership and they recognize what a challenge this is and they just want to look for ways to help.
Now, we got a big annual event that's going to be virtual this year.
We do. And again, I am pleased to talk about something other than pandemic response and PPE. this is a bit more exciting. Yes, every year, this is going to be our third year, we host our State of the Schools event in the summer. The past 2 years, it's been in the format of a luncheon. It's gone really well in the Bartlesville High School Commons. It's a great opportunity for our community to come out and hear from our superintendent as he kind of reviews the past year and highlights the upcoming priorities for the district. This year, we recognized that it was going to be probably tricky and not really safe to get everyone together in the same venue. And so we have moved that event virtual. So it will be on our Facebook page, the Bartlesville Public Schools Foundation Facebook page, on August the 5th at noon. So we'll have an update from our superintendent there. We're going to have some of our administrators on there live, kind of commenting in the chats, and they're available for anybody who wants to tune in. But we're encouraging people to tune in. There are sponsorships available on our website, bpsfoundation.org. But the event is free. This year, we're going to offer it to a much broader audience, free of charge, but it just means those sponsorships are more important than ever.
Great. Blair, I always appreciate what you bring to the table. Also, a lot of enthusiasm and positivity.
Thank you.
World needs a little bit more of that these days. How you doing there, Superintendent McCauley?
I'm doing wonderful, Tom. Thanks for having us here today.
A little bit of a busy stretch, huh?
It is. You know, it's a busy time. It's an exciting time. You know, yesterday, Heather Davis, one of our teachers, she's the president of our association. We were doing a interview with some NBC National News, actually, and she was telling the news, this is Christmas time for teachers. They're preparing for the start of school. I mean, it's an exciting time of year, although this year is a challenge, obviously, with everything that's going on in the world and concerns that are being raised. And so we're just working really hard to prepare. Our district, we have been in the planning stages for months now, and it's really when you start thinking about what school is going to be like, you kind of have to go through that mourning process about there are going to be some things that are different. I think everyone had hoped, probably across our country, that after the fourth quarter of last year, that this was going to just go away and we could go back and start school up normally in August and just keep on going. Well, obviously that hasn't happened. So we just need to make some adjustments. We all know that having our kids in school is what's best in person as much as possible. And so we want to make sure that we can safely do that. But there's lots of factors to go along with that. You know, at our board meeting Monday night, we spent most of our discussion was just centered around just the logistics, what to do when you have certain cases. I mean, we're down the road on our have a roadmap planned out on how to respond. Where, you know, I know lots of other places, they're just having conversations now about face coverings or what, to, you know, just come general. And the reality is, just like Blair talked about our community, you know, if we hadn't had that in place to get these things, have the funding in place and to have them ordered, you know, they don't magically appear here in August. So
lots of
planning went in, and we're so thankful for all of our community support. And so we're really trying to be as open and transparent as we can, as we've shared everything that we know to share, as because we want to make sure our parents are informed, because we have to work together. You know, this is going to be a challenge. Overall, you know, when you have some change, kids adapt well. They really do. I think us adults, we're the ones that have a little more struggle with change because we fear that loss of what we had, you know, the way things used to be. Well, the reality is our kids will adapt, and they will. And I've seen it throughout. You know, Blair, I was just having a conversation with about her child. Kids are involved in the swim, you know, Phillips Splash Club Swim Club. And you know, I know kids are involved in things. There's ways that we can do, we can get back, and it may look different. The best thing for our kids is to be back and have that interaction with teachers as much as possible. However, I also understand and respect there may be some parents and some families have some concerns, and they feel it's best for them to, we want them to remain a Bruin, but where they can stay home virtual, and hopefully it won't be for a long time, but if that's something that's best for them, that's great. I'm not upset or disappointed. I mean, everyone needs to do what's best, and I'm just so thankful that we have the opportunity to provide these type of options for our kids. You know, we never planned long-term in terms of, like, for example, for every kid having a device. I thought maybe at the upper elementary level, that's something that we may get to eventually, but never thought there'd be a need for all of our kids to have a device. Well, we're there. We never really knew if we could really address that digital divide in terms of kids that don't have access to the internet. Well, we learned fourth quarter how we could do it with our secondary students in terms of getting hotspots, which took a great deal of community support. So we were able to provide additional a number of hotspots for our elementary students. So this is for those kids that don't have it. In addition to, you know, our community partners like the Boys and Girls Club, where kids can go and have some access where, you know, fourth quarter they weren't able to go to, but now they will. So we're really excited to be in that place, and I'm really so thankful for our teachers. You know, we've spent time on the academic end. You know, we've had groups of teachers at every grade level, not every teacher, but groups of grade level teachers that have worked together collaboratively to come up with to align their curriculum so that when school does start, and if we do have some, you know, intermittent closures or long-term closures or the parents that choose to stay home, they know that curriculum is going to be aligned whether they're in person or whether they're at home. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that. And so I'm so thankful for that work. And frankly, those are the type of things that we need to be doing long-term anyway. We're going to come out of this in a year. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have so many. Because we can look at some different options because of what I just described in terms of devices, in terms of internet connectivity, in terms of our curriculum alignment, in terms of our teachers' professional development and being prepared for this environment, because it is a big challenge for them. However, you know, this year is going to be, there's just going to be some challenges. Our folks will, you know, our people are going to rise to the occasion. Our community already has risen to the occasion. And I'm so thankful for their support, and we're going to get through this together.
I've been reading states across the nation. Sometimes the teachers' unions, depending on where they are,
right,
were adamantly opposed to going back to school, depending on, you know, I guess positivity rates and everything.
Sure.
How difficult was this to get our local teachers' unions on board for in-person instruction this year?
Well, we're fortunate that we have a great relationship with our teachers' association. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, all of our planning that's been going on since March, we just include their leadership. So they're at the table with us because it's helpful, because sometimes teachers, they may not want to ask their principal or an administrator if they have concerns, but, you know, they'll go to their fellow teacher. And so we make sure they're just at the table. They have concerns, you know, and just to give you an example of that, you know, talking about face coverings, you know, we're talking about requiring them for sixth grade and above and really encouraging them for our younger kids. Well, we're having some discussion with our meeting yesterday regarding some of our upper elementary teachers that there's some concern there. They feel like they would feel safer if those upper elementary kids, which, you know, we have them available. So that's just the type of thing that we'll just work together to, that may be a change that we need to make. So, so we have a great relationship, and that's where it all starts. You know, the Oklahoma Education Association, they released last week in support of their teachers, because there's lots of districts that they don't have that relationship with teachers, so teachers don't know what's going on. And so if you don't know what's going on, and all you know is you see what's in the news, how could you not be scared?
And
especially if they're at a place where maybe they don't have the PPE for students and staff, and they don't have detailed plans on what you do when you have a case. They don't have people that have gone through the Johns Hopkins contact tracing, and they don't talk. I mean, all those types of things that we are doing, I completely understand that. So I know that the Oklahoma Association came out with some, you know, some guidelines they felt like that needed to be met for schools to open, which we were already doing all of them. So, you know, at least that gives some guidelines that maybe for some other districts that don't have that kind of relationship. So we're it's a different place here. And just to know, I mean, things change. I mean, it's been, you know, we had our last Wednesday, we had a couple of meetings. We had, I think, 209 people between the two meetings attend. So thankful for that. And, you know, things, talk about dynamic situations. You know, we had our meeting in the morning at 8:30. And then by the time we met that evening, just that day, you know, there was some big announcements. You know, of course, our governor, unfortunately, has a virus. I'm glad he's doing well and recovering well. That's wonderful. But, you know, that announcement, you know, Walmart and Lowe's made an announcement about regarding face coverings. Houston ISD announced they're delaying the start and start with a distance learning mode. State of Kansas is delaying the start of school. I mean, those type of things happen. Those dominoes.
All within 12 hours.
Yes. And it's almost on a daily basis, those huge things that are coming out, too. So, and I'm not saying we have a draft plan that's out. You've seen it. Everyone has it. But that's really what it is, because things are going to change. As we get more information, as we need to adjust, we're going to work together to do that. Probably the one big thing that we've shared that is for our parents, for those that just for a scheduling standpoint, we're working right now, because we have to work on accommodating our virtual students. So therefore, we really need those parents that are interested in that virtual option to go through the process, even if, you know, we had some early ways they could indicate interest, but we really need them now to making sure that they've confirmed with the principal of their school that they're enrolled virtually, because we have to work on the staffing, because we got to make sure that we have staffing available to meet their needs, that we can meet all of our needs, and also to meet our teachers' needs as well.
One thing that impressed me was the fact that some schools have one choice, some have two. We have three. We have the blended.
That's right. That's right. We do. And that's really, it's really more at the upper level, at the secondary level, in that blended choice, in terms of, you know, at the high school. And what blended means is basically on a daily basis, where some of the day you're virtual and some of the day you're in person. So that's pretty easily done at the high school. We've been doing that for years. We're going to expand that to our middle school. For example, the way I see that working at our middle school level, where if kids want to take their core classes, you know, their four core English, math, science, and social studies virtually, we'll try to work with them if they want to come participate in our elective courses. Obviously, that will be, they need to work with the principal there on scheduling, and they'll have to get their kids there and work through it. But for example, you know, if they can work it through, they want to stay and remain in the band program or that type of thing. Of course, it depends on space available. You know, some of the band and PE, some of those things are a little easier to have larger numbers in as well. Choir, you know, those types of things. At the elementary level, it's pretty much either you're virtual or you're in person. Now, we have had some parents express some interest at the elementary level if they could bring their kids up to participate in some of the specials and some of those things, which we will absolutely try to accommodate. Mm-hmm. That'll kind of have to be done working with that principal at that school, because everyone has a little bit different schedule. So, yes, absolutely. Our board, we changed the board policy on attendance this month, just on Monday, related to if kids do need to stay home or if they're not safe, where that they're not going to have to worry about truancy issues. You know, they just need to make sure they're doing their work and staying in communication. So where that's been a major part of school for 100 years, and remember that truancy issue, well, it's time to change. Some of these things are time to change. It is possible to do some work in some different environments, and we need to adjust to that. So I'm excited about those conversations, you know, having that growth mindset, and we're really going to come out of this better. We all just need to work together and stay positive, just like, you know, we're talking about Blair is a great example of that.
Exactly.
But we all need to stay positive, because it's important for our kids are going to adapt. You know, our kids are great. It's important for our parents to support them, to support our school, and to support each other. Whatever choice, you know, we talked about having some different options, and parents mm-hmm. need to do what's best for their families. All families have a different dynamic. But we know for most of our kids, they need to be in school. And so that's what we're making sure that we can do so safely. So there's some of these safeguards that we're taking. You know, I really hope that we look back on this and think, gosh, that was a little bit of an inconvenience, but we maybe didn't need to do all that. That would be wonderful. You know, but yeah. the flip side of that sure. coin is that's why you do it, because just in case. I mean, what's when the I have had the question, Tom, from a couple of folks about, you know, when would you relax some of these requirements regarding face coverings? You know, what metric are you going to use? Well, frankly, there's not a clear metric. In terms, you know, our state has just put out something by county, you know, Governor Stitt, which is helpful two or three weeks
color
ago.
Coding, yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't necessarily, it's a little harder to match that up to a school. It's a little difficult.
By scale, yeah.
What we look at, obviously, you know, I visit with Joy Hoffmeister. I'm on her advisory council. Mm-hmm. Every week, I have a video session with her. Mm-hmm. She's on with all school leaders across the state also. I talked to her on the phone last night. She called me last night to get her input. So she obviously has, in terms of our state officials, our state health officials meets with weekly. Matter of fact, they're going to be talking to their state board about some additional things, which are basically things that we're already doing. About that could be a statewide level. So we get that input from what state epidemiologists and the highest level health department officials tell us. Dr. Bruce Dart is from the Tulsa County Executive Director of Public Health. I was on a video conference again with him on Thursday, and I just wanted to confirm with him his recommendation regarding, for example, like temperature checks of students on why that's not, he doesn't recommend that. He does for adults, but not for students before. Which are, by the way, just to remind folks, we're not doing that because a couple of reasons. One, all of them gathering together on top of each other to do that before you go into school is not safe. Secondly, typically kids don't have those symptoms anyway. We do have temperature checks available at all sites. So if there is a need to check a kid's temperature or an adult, we will do mandatory adult. But those folks, you know, the Surgeon General of the United States, when they, you know, when they come out and say, this is what you should do, those types of things, that's what we're going to do. And I recognize that, and I get it. I recognize, you know, this is an election year. we're dealing with a pandemic, and social media has an impact on everything. And so therefore, and I realize all that, but at the end of the day, you know, we're going to be listening to what science tells us, working with our parents, working with our community, try to be open, as transparent as we can so that we can get kids back in school.
Two questions for you. One, graduation. How are we looking?
Let's do that. Let's go ahead and have graduation. We had a virtual graduation, which was really cool.
Proudly aired it.
I thought it went great. Yeah, it was really interesting. Yeah. I viewed that from my patio, which is a great seat. although this Friday, I'm going to be at Kester Stadium. So we're going to have graduation Friday at 8 p.m., and it's going to be an in-person graduation. We're limiting tickets. The graduates have 8. Barlesville Radio is going to help us stream it again, so we'll have that option too for everyone that's available. Masks are going to be encouraged. We'll have some disposable ones that are there. We're going to have social distancing. So we're looking forward to having that event. You know, everyone, kids deserve that. Our seniors deserve that opportunity to walk across the stage. We're looking forward to having that on Friday.
And you hinted at this a little earlier. You're talking about an NBC TV news clip. Has that aired? And if not, where will it air?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's interesting. I had their national news affiliate contacted me last week, and they came up and they visited with me yesterday, and also Heather Davis went to visit with all of our teachers. And they're also going down to visit with a smaller school superintendent. And then Joy Hoffmeister, I think, today. And so, which was really interesting at that level. They wanted to get some perspective. You know, a lot of times on the national news, you just hear from Los Angeles or New York.
And
wanting to get something from where a lot of us live, you know, different parts of the country. So he said he'd let me know when it's going to be aired. He wasn't sure. But, yeah, we had that experience yesterday, which was pretty neat.
Well, pretty cool. Be watching for that.
Yeah. You bet.
And a reminder here about the virtual get-together.
August the 5th at noon on the Bartlesville Public Schools Foundation's Facebook page.
Blair Ellis from the Foundation, thank you very much. Superintendent McCauley, thank you. All righty, go Bruins.
That's right.
All righty, thank you. You've been listening to our Community Connection right here on K1, the one you trust.
Working from home is...